We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. It's Friday, everybody. Hey, look at all that moisture. I mean, not everybody got a lot, but it's wet out there anyway, damp. South of here, really good rain. Talk about that here in a minute. Anyway, but it's cold. That wind is cold and it's strong. Looks like the coldest spot in Oklahoma's Beaver right now at 30 degrees. There's a big pocket of freezing temperatures around Woodward and Buffalo and up in there around the May Ranch. 33 at Arnett, 33 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. 35 at Eric, 36 at Bessie. Over there in the east northeast, Lahoma's 36 out here in the Texas Panhandle. Lipscomb's 34, Miami's 34, McLean's 32, and 35 degrees at Wellington, and not too bad at Odell at 45 degrees. Let's see here, the winds, check out on the winds. Looks like, of course, western Oklahoma is always the highest, and the highest I'm seeing right now, wind gusts is around 36, 37 miles an hour at Bessie and at Hobart. And looks like that cold front's made its way. It's a pretty cool picture if you get on your Mesonet app on your phone, or if you're in the office, get on the computer, and there's an angle going from Hollis all the way up to Miami. Everything's blue that way and green the rest of the way. It's a pretty cool picture. Anyway, let's see here. Let's check out some rainfall amounts before we get into the show. Cheyenne, 0.05. Camargo 0.06, looks like down around Hollis at the Mesonet is 16/100ths of an inch, but just north of there, they look like in there where Harmon and Greer and Beckham come together, they got inch, half inch in there. I know down south of the River Bridge, south of Carter, Bradley said he had a half inch, and then a man down there, Granite, Bobby reported got 1.39 inches of rain there at the lake. There by the prison. So anyway, good rains. And then southeastern, what is that? Ouachita County. There, I was confused for a minute. I'm always confused. Southeastern part of Ouachita County got anywhere from 2 or 3 tenths all the way up to an inch, maybe an inch and a quarter in that area. So anyway, some decent rains in there. So the weather people had it predicted right. That's where they said the rains was going to be, southeast of Eric, drew a line from Eric to Watonga. Anyway, looks like they got some good rains. Of course, they always get good rains over in eastern Oklahoma. Okay, the Wattis report is out. And before we do that, let's see what the actual grain market is doing. It looks like it's already reacted to that report that came out about an hour ago. March, corn, 425. Unchanged. May, 438 unchanged. Soybeans for March unchanged, and they were all down early this morning. May soybeans up 3 at 1169. Soybean meal March 333.40 down 65, and May is 336 up to 220. I'm sorry, it was up 650, down 650, not down 65. Soybean oil March 44.99 down 84. May soybean oil 45.58. Hard red winter wheat was down pretty good this morning. Also, it's back up. March is 594 unchanged, and May is 583 up 8. What's cotton doing? Cotton took a big hit this morning for some reason. May cotton 95.28 down 4. July 93.94 down 384. Sugar, I got to check in on. I haven't checked in on Sugar Daddy in a while. I've been laying off of him a little bit, so he tempered, stay good. May sugar is at 21.11, down 17. West Texas oil, April 77.98, down 95. Natural gas, April 181, basically unchanged. Feeder cattle for April, 187.52, down 120. June is 183.45, down 115. And that was live cattle. My glasses are fogged up. The computer screen is acting up on me, so forgive me here. Feeder cattle for March, 249.12, down 190. April, 254.25, down 205. May, feeders, 257.10, down 135. Lean hogs for April, 84.60, up 7. May is 91.55, up 32. And June, 101.85, up 70. So there you go. All right, the Dow and the NASDAQ and the S&P are all in the red, probably because of the State of the Union address last night. I don't know if any of you guys watched that, but that was interesting. How's that? Okay, let's check out this report. The WASD report is out, and this is the World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates. 23-24 Argentina and Brazil crop production for corn. Argentina's production is pegged at 56 million. Brazil's corn production is estimated at 124 million metric tons versus the trade's expectation of 121.80. So it's up from last month. For soybeans, Argentina is estimated to produce 50 million metric tons versus the trade's expectation of 50.4 million metric tons. Brazil's soybean production is pegged at 155 million metric tons, and there was a trade expectation of 151.6 million metric tons. So Brazil is up way over on corn and soybeans as of last month's prediction. The WADIS report pegged the U.S. 23-24 corn ending stocks at 2.172 billion bushels. The trade's expectation was 2.154 billion. And USDA's February estimate was at 2.172. For soybeans, the U.S. ending stocks was pegged at 315 million bushels versus the trade's expectation of 319 million and last month's estimate of 315 million. The U.S. pegged the U.S. wheat, USDA pegged the U.S. wheat ending stocks at 673 million bushels versus the trade's expectation of 657 million bushels and last month's estimate of 658. So expecting more. World ending stocks, the USDA pegged the world's corn ending stocks at 319.6 million metric tons versus the trade's expectation of 320.2 million metric tons. For soybeans, the world ending stocks are estimated at 114.3 million metric tons versus the trade's expectation of 114. For wheat, the USDA pegged the world ending stocks at 258.8 million metric tons versus the trade expectation of 259 million metric tons. This month's 23-24 U.S. corn outlook is unchanged. The outlook for the U.S. supply soybean supply for use for the 23-24 is unchanged. While soybean crust is unchanged, the soybean meal extraction rate is increased slightly, and higher soybean meal exports are mostly offset by lower domestic use. Concerning wheat, USDA says the outlook for the 23-24 U.S. wheat this month is basically unchanged. Supplies and domestic use, lower exports, and higher ending stocks. Exports are reduced 15 million bushels to 710 million with reductions for the soft red winter and hard red winter wheat. Ending stocks are raised by an equivalent amount to 673 million bushels and are 18% higher than last year. Here's some of the reaction from trade. Immediately post the WADIS, we are trading higher on both corn and soybeans. Overall, that don't make no sense. Let's see here. I'll make up a line here. Overall, I'm looking at this report, says Jerry McCann, looking at leaning bullish but not strong in either direction. In stocks remain unchanged for domestic corn and soybeans and increase for wheat. This is likely due to the rather large Chinese cancellations of wheat purchases that have occurred over the past 2 days. Brazilian soybean production decreased only by but only by 1 million metric tons, which was a much smaller decrease than the trades were expecting. More revisions will take place to the soybean crop for Brazil. I believe we are not seeing a vast decrease to production due to unaccounted for acres, and they are now being looked at. So there you have it. That's from the big report. So what to expect? We don't know. We'll find out, won't we? Let's see what else is going down right now. This is a deal I touched on the other day, but in case you missed it on the stories this week, take a long look at the most popular story on agriculture.com. The use of non-prime farmland for renewable energy, says Valsec. At the same time, the Secretary of Agriculture announced $2.2 billion in loans yesterday and loan guarantees for rural electric co-ops. Agriculture Secretary Tom Valsec acknowledged on Wednesday, fears that the U.S. farmland will be covered up by wind turbines and solar collectors. We know that there are some concerns out there about whether renewable energy will overtake prime farmland. We obviously encourage use of non-prime farmland for purposes of renewable energy, said Valsec, speaking at the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association annual meeting in San Antonio. Discussion of renewable energy projects should include an examination of how farming might be impacted, he said. It's one of the reasons why we announced our raise incentive. The Rural and Agriculture Income and Savings from Rural and Energy Initiative has an initial goal of helping 400 farmers to install small-scale wind projects to power their own operations or to sell wind-generated electricity, perhaps working with several neighbors to their local unity. And you guys know last week I reported there's one down at Hobart and another one somewhere in that area down there that they got approved by the USDA to put a wind tower to produce their electricity on their own farm down there. So anyway, before we go to our first Wheeler General store break, a winter storm warning is still in place for parts of Nebraska and Wyoming, according to the National Weather Service. Nebraska winter storm warnings call for an additional snow accumulations of 1 to 3 inches. The warning is set to expire about right now. How about that? Wyoming's warning also calls for 1 to 3 more inches of snow in place till this afternoon around 5 o'clock Mountain Central Time. Several counties across the plains also still face a winter weather advisory. I think if I looked a while ago on the Mesonet, the Oklahoma Panhandle is in a winter weather advisory. Covering 5 Nebraska counties, says snow and blowing snow expected. Total snow accumulations 2 to 5 inches with locally higher amounts. Blowing snow may also result in periods of reduced visibility with northerly winds like we got right now, 25 to 30 miles an hour. Well, let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General store break. I'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, March the 1st. 783 head were sold, 5 head of steers at 238 brought 389, 11 at 365 brought 367.50, 8 at 468 brought 337.50, 10 at 509 brought 321, 3 at 615 brought 288, 6 at 633 brought 276, 4 head of heifers at 405 brought 304, 7 at 422 brought 308, 8 at 498 brought 267, 7 at 618 brought 235, 20 at 688 brought 234.50, 3 at 733 brought 228, butcher cows were 32 to 133, butcher bulls brought 100 to 145.50, bred cows were 1175 to 2475, pairs brought 1600 to 2975. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Currently here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center in our studio is 34.7 degrees, 94% humidity. Winds are out of the north at 16 right now here at the studio. Dozer, Texas. Here is your Texas Panhandle Ag Weather Update. 35 degrees, wind chills 25, humidity is at 89, dew points at 32, the winds are out of the north at 17, wind gust up to 23, peak wind gust today, 42 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, 0.08, red flag minutes, sub-freezing minutes, none of those today, 8-inch soil temperature, 53 degrees. So that is your ag weather update up in the Texas Panhandle. Got 0.3 inches at Delhi, and now getting rock salt size sleet. That looks like Sugar Daddy's number. I'm not sure, but anyway, we'll see how that goes. All right, just so you people know, and if you're listening, if you're texting in for your school to win that package, that deal that they had going here at KCO, it's over. You don't have to text in anymore. Hollis was awarded that last Saturday, I believe. Hollis Schools won that. So anyway, it's over. You can quit texting in all these towns. It's done. It's over with. How about that? Anyway, thank you for participating. Man, it was a bunch. I mean, thousands. I counted one day. I got like 300 towns text in to me during my 1 hour show. Not to me, but in on the text line. So anyway, wonderful participation. But Hollis Schools was the grand champion on that deal. Okay, let's see what else. Oh, I got something I want to share with you guys while I think about it from OSU. Anyway, the ODAFF will be having two unwanted pesticides pickups this spring in Altus and Shawnee. The dates are April 22nd at the Jackson County Expo Center in Altus and April 24th at the Heart of Oklahoma Expo Center in Shawnee. The collections will run from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at all locations. Most information, such as flyer and transportation tips, is available on the Unwanted Pesticide Disposal website, which is at OKState.edu, Programs, Pesticide Safety Education, Unwanted Pesticide Disposal. Just Google OSU Extension and put pesticide in there, and I bet it'll come right up on your deal. Anyway, that's coming up in April, so if you got any, find out the rules, what you can bring, and all that good stuff. So anyway, that's coming up in April. I'm just going to remind you guys a couple times a week because I know people got it out there. So anyway, back to that. All right. Let's see here. Let's talk some cattle numbers from up north at the livestock barn up there. 3,768 head sold up there at Woodward this week, or yesterday, compared to last week. Feeder steers were $4 to $8 higher. Feeder heifers were $3 to $5 higher. Steer and heifer calves steady to $5 higher. Demand was moderate. Quality was average. Let's see what some of them were bringing. Let's do some unweaned weaned comparisons here. So we have some winged 359 pounders, we're bringing up to 367. Some unwinged ones bringing up to 367. And then on the four weights, there's some 432 unwinged brought 330, and there was some 482 winged brought 333. And what else we got here? Here's some 531 pounders bringing up to 336. Some unwinged ones bringing up to 327, weighing 527. Some 630s brought 304. Do the math on that one. And then we got some 784s brought 286, or 713s brought 286. Some 825s brought 248. Some 966 brought 221. Some 915s brought 237.50. Nice deal there. And they had a big load of 266 head, matter of fact, weighing 1,014, brought an average at 215.85. See if you can do the math on that one in your head without having to get your calculator out. Heifers, looks like the 423s were bringing up to 328, 468s, 318, some 524s, 285, some 632s, 246, 717 pounders brought 242, 875 pound heifers bringing up to 225.50. And some 956 and some 1,004 pounds brought $1.92. There was a big load come in there weighing 921, average 213.52. So not too far behind on the steer deal there. So anyway, I think that's it. Yep, that's it on that report. All right, I've been saving this for you guys all week. We're going to talk about mice now. This comes from the Arkansas Business Morning Roundup out of Arkansas, obviously. Comes the story of the Family Dollar in West Memphis being fined nearly $42 million by the Justice Department over its rodent-infested warehouse. Mice. The $41.7 million fine, it must have been bad, described as the world's largest ever criminal penalty in a food safety case, came after the firm pleaded guilty in court. Arkansas Business reported the company was charged with causing food, drugs, medical devices, and cosmetics to become, they kind of got leaked on by the mice while being under held under its insanitary conditions. Family Dollar admitted it had a mouse problem at the warehouses, but continued shipping to more than 400 stores in Arkansas. The company is constructing a $100 million replacement. I guess they're going to grow some more mice. That's a big fine. That must have been a lot of mice in there. That's all I can say. When you think you got one or two in your house, times are, yeah. Visit that place. All right, let's see here. I want to do a couple more deals on the fires. Matter of fact, I'm hoping this lady that I told you guys about from Alabama that called me the other day, she is supposed to be in Shattuck about 1:30. Hopefully she gets there before the show's over, because I want to call up her and talk to her. This lady works at a feed store in Alabama, and she is bringing fencing supplies, a calf replacement, milk replacement, I mean, and bottles and feed, horse feed, and all kinds of stuff. She got her truck loaded down, and she's pulling an 18-foot trailer all the way from Alabama. She said, she told me the other day, she's going to stop and see her mom in Arkansas, and then she was headed this way, her and her dog. Her dog was going to be her riding companion. So anyway, Randy's supposed to send me pictures if she doesn't get there before the show's over. But anyway, I don't know how to thank all you people that's been helping those people in the wildfire affected areas. Had a couple calls last night and a text message wanting to donate, and how the best way to donate. And I'll just give them a personal opinion on the ones that I know where everything's going to the farmers and ranch and the affected areas out there. So anyway, the USDA has technical and financial assistance available to help farmers and livestock producers across Texas and Oklahoma to recover from the recent wildfires. Producers impacted by the wildfires should contact their local USDA service center to report losses and learn more about the program options available to assist in the recovery. Because there's a lot of options here, from crop, land, infrastructure, and livestock losses and damages. Producers who experience livestock deaths in excess of normal mortality may be eligible for the livestock indemnity. My speech is bad today. Sorry, I didn't take my allergy pill. Program, LIP. To participate in the LIP, producers will need to provide documentation of death losses and submit a notice of loss to the USDA Farm Service Agency no later than the annual program payment application date. The LIP payments application and notice of loss deadline is March 3rd of next year, a year from now, for the 24 calendar year losses. Meanwhile, the Emergency Assistance for Livestock, Honeybees, and the Farm-Raised Fish Program, ELAP, provides eligible producers with compensation for feed and grazing losses and transportation costs associated when transporting feed, forage to livestock, and livestock to feed. For ELAP, producers also are required to complete a Notice of Loss and Payment application to their local FSA office no later than January 30th of 2025 for the 24 calendar year losses. Based on your reported losses or damages, our local Farm Service Agency County office staff are ready to help connect you with the programs best suited to meet your wildlife recovery needs, said Kelly Atkins, State Executive Director for FSA in Texas. Our staff will do our best to work with the lost documentations you have available. We understand these are trying times and you've pulled in many directions, so when you're able, please get in touch with us to begin the reporting process. The sooner we have the information, the sooner we can get the county committee action on your request for assistance. Examples of lost documentation include, but are not limited to, farm records, herd inventory, receipts, and pictures of damage and loss. FSA also offers a variety of direct and guaranteed farm loans, including operating and emergency farm loans. The risk management, here's another one of the options. Producers who have risk protection through the Federal Crop Insurance or FSA's Non-Insured Crop Disaster Assistance Program, NAP, should report crop damage to their crop insurance agent or FSA office respectfully. If they have crop insurance, producers should provide a notice of loss to their agents within 72 hours of initial discovery of damage and followed up in writing within 15 days. For NAP covered crops, a notice of loss form must be filled out, and that's form CCC 576 must be filed within 15 days of loss becoming apparent, except for hand harvest crops, which should be reported within 72 hours. Because there's always the possibility of losses from wildfires and other natural disasters, the USDA offers crop insurance and risk management to help producers mitigate the financial impact of losses resulting from the disasters. So anyway, I'm just giving this out to you guys, just a reminder, because we're week two of this on the recovery. So and you had your hands full, so don't let this go on too long without doing something. On the conservation side, outside of primary nesting season, emergency and non-emergency haying and grazing of CRP acres may be authorized to provide relief to livestock producers in these areas affected by severe drought and similar natural disasters. So we got that going on. And what else here? Let's see. They do have some assistance for communities, because a lot of communities were affected by these wildfires. The NRCS also administers the Emergency Watershed Protection Program, which provides assistance to local government sponsors with the cost of addressing watershed impairments of hazard, such as debris removal and stream bank stabilization. That program also is a recovered effort aimed at relieving imminent hazards to life and property caused by floods, fires, windstorms, and other natural disasters. So there you go. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break. When I come back, we'll have more.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities and the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
SCI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SCI Agritech, 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SCI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre. In the whole month of March, we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate our grand opening sale with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb, good people, great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
Hi, I'm Gary Owens with Galleria Furniture. We have over 100 recliners to choose from.
With recliners starting at $299, you're sure to find the right one. Shop top brands like FlexSteel, Catnapper, Best Chair, and Lane. With up to 12 months to pay with your Galleria credit card, why shop anywhere else?
And remember, we'll beat any competitor's price or it's yours for free.
Visit us at our Elk City location, just next to Tractor Supply on West 3rd Street.
The hit true crime podcast, Paper Ghosts, is back with a haunting mystery in the shadows of the Ozarks. Season 4 unravels a darkly intriguing cold case from 1989 as a community continues to search for answers about a missing girl, various suspects, and a potential connection to BTK.
It's gone from, okay, we don't think something's quite right, to there's some worry going on now, because now we've found some of her clothing.
Listen to Paper Ghosts wherever you get your podcasts.
Here are just a few good reasons on why you should do business with 5A Repair in Elk City. For one, they have factory-trained Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and GM technicians on staff, providing full-line automotive and equipment repair. Secondly, they are a Napa Auto Care Center backed by a minimum two-year warranty. Thirdly, from minor tire repair to complete engine and transmission replacements, they'll treat you like you matter, because you know what? You do. They also have most major tire brands available. And 5A does wheel alignments, heater and air conditioning servicing, plus oil change and inspections. And when it comes to lawn and garden equipment, 5A Repair is your Western Oklahoma and East Texas Panhandle Red Max authorized dealer. These zero-turn mowers are built to last with heavy-duty frames and steel decks. And their Red Max string trimmers are top of the line. All warranty work is also done right in-house. And they service all makes and models of lawn equipment and smaller farm equipment. Call or stop by 5A Repair, 950. 215 North Van Buren in Elk City. Take it from owner Marty Ashbaugh. 5A Repair is quality you can trust.
Are you looking to give your livestock the best nutrition possible? Well, head on over to the Sarah Farmers Co-op. Sarah Co-op is an authorized quality liquid feeds dealer. They handle a variety of QLF Ignite protein and mineral tubs, along with their Pasture Select 20-5 and 35-5 liquid feed. Short on time, the Sarah Co-op will supply, deliver, and fill your liquid feed tank for you so that you don't have to. Don't put it off. Head on over to the Sarah Co-op at 109 South 6th Street in Sarah or give them a call at 928-2664.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here is your Northwestern Oklahoma agriculture update. And let's go with Buffalo today. How about that? Buffalo right now, 33 degrees, feels like 21. Dew point's 27, humidity 78. The winds are blowing out of the north, northwest, 22 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 28. Bare soil temperature, 3-day average 4 inch, 51 degrees. Sunset at 6:39 today. 40% chance of rain and snow. High at 40 degrees. Tonight mostly cloudy. 26. Tomorrow mostly sunny. Light winds out of the northwest. 54 degrees. Doesn't look too shabby today. Anyway, big shout out. Big thank you to Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech. He just delivered 8 super totes of horse and cattle cake to Canadian. To AH&N. One of these days I'm not going to get those right. Anyway, AH&N there. Anyway, thank you very much. And he said that, let me see here. He just got back. He was on his way back, and he's met 10 semi-loads headed north with hay. And there we got it. So anyway, delivered it there. So anyway, thanks, Kent, for doing that. There's lots of people doing. We are making, unless the roads are slick, we're making a big convoy up to Gage tomorrow, starting in the morning. Big shout out to Bill Mandrell over by Clinton. Big donation of hay. We're going to get 6 semis and 7 or 8 dump trailers headed that way. We might be missing 1 or 2 tomorrow if Merritt Oilerettes win this game coming up here in about 53 minutes. So anyway, good luck to the Merritt Oilerettes. Hope you guys win today. And then, so we're going to miss a couple truck drivers tomorrow because their kids are playing in that tournament. So anyway, thank you very much. All right, let's see what else we got here. We got, saving this. Here we go. Okay. I don't think we've ever talked about this on the show since it started, but what does the law say when your neighbor won't help with fencing? Oh, anyway, the old age, good fences make good neighbors, has stood the test of time. A good boundary fence, and also also called a partition fence, has many benefits, especially marking the property line as people generally stay on their side. I coined the phrase bad or no fences make even worse neighbors, because when a boundary fence falls into despair, or disrepair, how's that, is removed or simply rusts away, the boundary line becomes unclear and leads to misunderstanding. And I've seen this with my own eyes, which generally leads to lawsuits. Simply, people are more apt to enter onto your farm when a fence is not present, especially trespassers, not necessarily your neighbors. Farm over the property line or just about everything else in between. Based on personal experience with a fence that I've constructed last year, fencing is costly. However, knowing the fence law in your state can help spread the cost out, because in most instances, the benefits too are spread out. Many states require that landowners on each side of the fence contribute to a boundary fence. This hardens back to the days of settling over this country where it was presumed that both owners would benefit from the same fence because practically everyone had livestock, so each should share the cost. Today, even if one landowner does not have livestock, Many states hold the owner without livestock still benefits by having a fence, mainly because the fence clearly marks the boundary line. However, the fence should keep the trespassers from coming across both owners' properties, keep in pets, children, and provide other benefits as well as to the adjoining landowner. I'm going to add something to that. We have a few out here in western Oklahoma, but if there's not a very good fence or not a fence at all, the other landowner on the other side sure does like grazing your property. So how does a farmer who wants or needs a partition fence built, rebuilt, or repaired avoid having to shoulder the entire cost of such, especially when the adjoining neighbor benefits? Riding to the rescue is a bevy of fence laws across the country that require the adjoining neighbor to build some portion of the fence in various instances. The National Agriculture Law Center reports that all 50 states have enacted statutes that address issues of farm fences that act as a partition fences and the responsibility of adjoining landowners. These fence law statutes vary widely from state to state, and wait till I get to Oklahoma at the last one. The National Ag Law Center has information on fence laws in each state, so you can Google National Ag Law Center and it'll come up and you can figure out what you got, whether you're in Kansas, Texas, or Oklahoma. I'm gonna tell you a little bit about Oklahoma's here in a little bit. Texas, I didn't get a chance to research it. I'm sure they're firm on their side of the state line there. In Indiana, for example, the law requires adjacent landowners to share in cost of building or maintaining a partition fence via the right-hand rule. This rule in days of old held that you stand in the middle of the fence looking across at your neighbor, you must build, maintain, or repair the whole fence exists to that right of you, to the right of you. The adjoining owner does the same to his right. So if there is 100 feet of fence, you're responsible for 50 feet of fence. So is your neighbor. As long as one parcel is used for farming or conservation, the law applies. Livestock on either side is not a requirement. If the neighbor refuses to build their half, then once you build your right-hand section and the neighbor refuses to build or pay for their half, you are to ask the township trustee to mandate the neighbor build their portions. If they still refuse, the trustee can have the section built and the bill goes on the adjoining neighbor's tax bill. You ain't getting out of that. I don't know if you guys realize it, but especially like in Kansas, and it sounds like Indiana too, the townships run their own township, and the county does all the, on the road maintenance side, the bridges and the asphalt. So that's how that works in Kansas. In Michigan, the adjoining neighbor may only has to pay if they begin restraining or containing animals. Boy, that's a fine line. Then a fence viewer, which can be also a township trustee or someone hired by the township trustee, can determine if the neighbor is using a fence constructed or maintained by the adjoining property owner. And if so, what percentage of the cost of construction and maintenance of the fence the neighbor is responsible for. Ohio has a lengthy partition fence line, with each county having a partition fence record where fence agreements between neighbors can be filed. Whether or not the adjoining neighbor has to help with the cost of maintenance of the fence will depend on if there was an agreement prior to that. The takeaway from all this is when it comes to partition fences, there's a common theme that runs across most of the states, and that it is boundary fences are important. Most time property owners benefit and thus should be shared cost in at least some circumstances. For those who build a reconstruction fence and believe the adjoining neighbor should help in cost, it is important to follow the statute to a T. Years ago, a person in Indiana built the left-hand side of the partition fence, not only his right-hand side, because there was much more work to do on that section versus his right-hand side due to having removed rocks and trees. So he built the left-hand section to make it easier on the adjoining neighbor to build the other half. When the adjoining landowner refused, it was determined the individual's action was commendable, did not follow the statute requiring him to build the right hand, and thus the adjoining landowner was relieved of the obligation to build the other half. Gotcha. I know an instance here about 5 or 6 years ago with one of my landlords. The fence was kind of in really terrible shape. Sand blew up over the top of most of it. Anyway, he had it resurveyed to make sure it was right, and it moved on the other landowner at one end 50 foot, and then on him 50 foot at the other end, or 25 foot in there. So there, well, that other landowner was not happy with these survey stakes, so he went and pulled them up. So they had it resurveyed with the sheriff standing there the next time. So how about that? And it was made clear to keep your paws off the survey stakes. So that's the way it goes. In Oklahoma, let me get to back to this text message I had. Let's see here. I asked the question, does Oklahoma law require both landowners to share the cost of new boundary fence? The answer was no. The law is completely silent in Oklahoma. So there you have it. It's an agreement between two landowners there. So anyway. All right. Let's take a Wheeler General Store break. Come back and finish up the show for the weekend. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey folks, I'm Ken Russ, new owner of Hobart Stockyards. We want to thank Rex Fleming for the great job and dedication he has done serving the community in southwestern Oklahoma. I look forward to continuing working with you cattle producers and marketing your cattle. We are bringing in multiple independent cattle buyers and along with current buyers to guarantee you get top prices for your cattle. Give me a call at 580-530-0192. Here at Hobart Stockyards, we only sell the best. And remember that Jesus is Lord.
The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull Sale is Monday, March 25th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater, featuring 20 registered age advantage and 50 yearling bulls, also 20 registered open heifers, 50 commercial Red Angus first calf heifer pairs, and 60 commercial Red Angus open heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale info, go to McIntyreRedAngus.com. A lot of great cattle is for sale near Sweetwater the last Monday in March. The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull Sale, Monday, March 25th, 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma has dedicated their life to supporting your farm's success because farming is their way of life. Their superior high-pro feeds are expertly formulated to meet the nutritional needs of your livestock. They provide bulk feed delivery straight to your farm, or for smaller quantities, they offer a variety of feed bags and sacks in different sizes. When it comes to your livestock feed, choose excellence. Choose Hobart Farm and Garden.
Blair Tire and Feed is helping you save some money. Firestone Ag is holding its Spring Into Savings event. That means you're going to save big money on the tires you need. Most Firestone radial tires are included in the sale, like their expanded line of 82 technology patterns and sizes. Eligible standard radial tires will have a $200 discount. Eligible 82 radial tires will have a $300 discount. That's big time savings on big time tires during a big time event. the Firestone Ag Spring into Savings event at Blair Tire and Feed.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Speaking of that last commercial, Mr. Lyle Shaw down there at Blair Tire and Feed donated 2 semis loads of hay earlier this week and had some more if needed. So anyway, thank you, Lyle, for donating 2 semi loads of grass hay from down there around Blair. We appreciate it. All right, let's check out the ag weather update from Hobart for Hollis, brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden there at Hobart. Right now at Hollis, it's 37, feels like 27, dew point's 35, humidity's 92, the winds are out of the northwest, 16 miles an hour, with wind gust up to 25, 10-day rain total, 0.27 inches, they've got 0.2 inches in the last 24 hours, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 54 degrees, sunset at 6:41, 40% chance of showers today. 49 for a high, high winds out of the north, 22 to 30 miles an hour. Tonight, chance of rain and snow, 40% chance, low around 30 with 17 mile an hour to 21 mile an hour. Winds out of the north. Tomorrow looks very nice. Mostly sunny, 54 degrees. Winds out of the north, 10 to 14 miles an hour. So that is your brought to your ag weather update for Hobart Farm and Garden for the big town of Hollis. Capital of Harmon County. All right, so what else we got here? Oh, here you go. Xcel Energy has acknowledged that its facilities do appear to have been involved in an ignition of the Smokehouse Creek fire, although its disputed claims that it was acting in a negligent way in maintaining and operating its infrastructure. The company said it's been cooperating with investigators into the wildfires, has been also been conducting its own review. The Smokehouse Creek Fire, now the largest wildfire in the history of the state of Texas and the second largest in the United States, is 1.06 million acres. The Texas A&M Forest Service reported March 7th that the fire is now 74% contained. Our thoughts continue to be with the families and communities impacted by the wildfires in the Texas Panhandle. We're also grateful for the courage of the first responders that have worked to fight the fires and help save lives and property. As longstanding members of the West Texas community, we continue to support our neighbors in this recovery, and we thank our frontline workers who have worked long, hard hours over the past several days to restore electrical service to those who receive power in the impacted areas. And I'm going to tell you from firsthand view, those guys last weekend, we've seen different companies working for Xcel, and they were working their butts off. So they were trying to get everybody back on, and I don't know if they're 100% back on yet. I haven't seen anything to that. An additional to acknowledging its role, the company encouraged people who had property destroyed by or livestock lost in the Smokehouse Creek fire to submit a claim to Xcel Energy through its claim process. We will review and respond to any such claims in a manner where priority on claims from any person that lost their home in the Smokehouse Creek fire. The company said a claim form and instructions for submission can be found by visiting www.xlenergy.com. And there you have it. Xcel Energy also noted the Windy Deuce fire reportedly impacted many structures in and around Fritz, Texas, but said it does not believe that its facilities caused the ignition of that fire. The company said it will continue to work with regulator and policymakers to evaluate the evolving nature of the wildfire risk and advance effective wildfire mitigation strategies to keep the public safe and its systems resilient. So there you go. Anyway, last I heard, 33,000 in the Texas Panhandle and all the fires, 33,000 head of cattle have been lost total. Yesterday I said 6,000, and that was in Hemp Hill County. But found another story where Texas A&M reported 33,000 head and 100 homes destroyed in that fire. So there you go, have that. So anyway, here we go. The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. From animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Hepley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a high-pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas, they look forward to serving you. And I know when I talked to the week before last during the fires, I talked to Nathan. They were evacuating their home because I think they lived 20 miles somewhere in there north of Wheeler towards Canadian. So they evacuated their homes. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen or talked to him since, so I hope everything's good. I did see my favorite feed man from High Pro yesterday. I seen him on the golf course playing golf or whatever he calls it. He's doing that. He's my favorite, one of my favorite people from the French Quarters. Jeremiah. Anyway, I seen him yesterday. He had a big smile on his face, and I won't tell you the gestures he was giving me when I drove by. So that's another story within its own. So anyway, also there's been a lot of text messages and people asking me about, are there wildfires in Texas, Oklahoma? Are they going to affect the overall cattle beef prices? Brandon and I talked about it Tuesday, but here's another report out. The recent Texas Panhandle wildfires have caused significant cattle losses for the individual ranchers, but should not impact beef cattle markets or consumers, according to a Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service expert. David Anderson, Professor David Anderson of AgriLife Extension Economist in the Texas A&M Department of Agriculture Economics, Bryan College Station, said it may be weeks before their estimates for lost cattle, but he expects the impact of the wildfire to be localized. Still, Texas Agriculture Commission said Miller said yesterday that over 6,000 cattle had already estimated to be lost, as well as hundreds of miles of fencing and numerous structures. The Panhandle wildfires also claimed two lives. The Smokehouse Creek fire that started in Hutchinson County has burned more than 1 million acres across the Texas Panhandle in Oklahoma and still only 44% contained. So this must have been a little bit late on that deal. It's 75% contained. The size and scope of the fire, along with the reports about the Panhandle being home to 85% of the state's beef cattle herd, has led to inferences from about the large-scale cattle losses. While most of the state's cattle herd does move through the Panhandle because the region is a major hub for feedlots, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service said the beef cow populations are spread throughout the state. For instance, the USDA's National Agriculture Statistics Service county-by-county inventory shows for 2023, 17,000 head of cattle in Hip Hill County, an area that was hit hard by the fires. By comparison, Gonzales County, east of San Antonio, is home to 54,000 beef cattle in 2023. I've been getting a lot of questions about whether this fire will impact prices, cattle prices, and consumers, but the short answer is no. I think some of the people are under the impression there could be a significant percentage of the Texas herd lost, but that's not the case. It's devastating if your ranch and your herd is in the disaster area, but it really won't impact cattle or beef prices because of the numbers and the scale of the entire market. Unfortunately, Anderson said individual losses could mount very quickly for producers in the fire's path, especially considering cattle values and the cost of infrastructure like fencing. Cattle prices continue to trend upward and set all-time records. Anderson expects the trend will continue into next year, 2025, because the U.S. and the Texas herd have shrunk over the past 2 years due to drought. So there you go. Anyway, you guys have a wonderful weekend. Thank you all for helping with the relief for Oklahoma and Texas with the hay, the feed, the money, the donations, and all that stuff. I'm going to miss some of you that I know are doing it, and I apologize. We are thinking of you. You guys have a wonderful weekend. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah, Oklahoma. God bless.